Last week, we started an ongoing conversation on how to go forward. In the coming weeks, we want to hear from as many voices as possible about how to move on from one of the most divisive elections in American history. But right now, we're asking how to go forward today, this week, when the president isn't even conceding that he lost the election, and now a little-known Trump appointee in the General Services Administration, Emily Murphy, is declining to sign a letter that would formally declare Joe Biden the president-elect, which would release millions of dollars in funding to Biden's transition team so they can hit the ground running in January. Instead, even things like email addresses and office space are being withheld from the Biden team, an unprecedented move that even some Republicans are criticizing. Max Steyer is president and CEO of the Partnership for Public Service, a nonpartisan group that houses the Center for Presidential Transition, which advises transition teams, and sent a letter asking the Trump administration to move ahead. Max, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
So we should say that incoming administrations always, traditionally, get started right about now doing that transition, correct? I mean, they need this time.
They absolutely need it. It's worth taking a step back and thinking about both what's at stake and what's involved in a transition. The what's involved, I'll start there, is extraordinary. You're talking about the most important, largest, and complex organization, probably not just on the planet today, but in history. And it means taking over this organization that has upwards of 4 million people, 2 million civil servants and 2 million uniformed and reserved folk, hundreds of operating units, a budget of north of $5 trillion, and 4,000 political appointees that they need to get in place. So it, you know, puts any typical takeover in the dust. It's huge and difficult, and you need a lot of time, as much time as possible, and really great people to make it work.
And we know that there's an advisory board for the transition commission. They are from past administrations. They've all written a letter, or many have signed a letter, saying that they need this to go peacefully, and they need, you know, the president to concede, and they need this transfer of power. But now we have someone in the General Services Administration holding this up. A lot of people don't even know what that is. So tell us, why is that person playing a role in this?
So there's a law, a statute that governs the way transitions work, and it requires that the General Services Administrator ascertain, is the word that's used in the statute, a winner in order for the support that the government can give to a transition effort to allow it to happen. And so the GSA Administrator, Emily Murphy, has that responsibility to ascertain a winner. And historically, there's been, you know, no problem here. There's been a lot of clarity about, you know, who's won and no real argument about it. And that has been a pro forma decision on the part of the GSA Administrator. The only time where that was not the case was in 2000, where you had the disputed election with Al Gore and George Bush. And there, the GSA Administrator did wait until there was resolution by the Supreme Court before ascertaining a winner. So what's important to understand here is the ascertainment does not actually decide the election, but it does decide whether the Biden team gets access to critical resources that we should all want to see happen, because in order for the Biden team to be ready on day one to govern and to address the many problems we face, they need to have all these resources, access to the agencies, their people processed and in place, and the financial resources to do it.
Well, I want to be clear here, because you mentioned the Gore v. Bush 2000 race. The difference, it would seem to be, is that that really was a razor tight race that came down to, you know, a part of Florida. In this case, we have, you know, 4.5 million more popular votes for one candidate, Joe Biden, who also got the Electoral College. Yes, there are always legal challenges after an election, but when somebody has hit that 270 and has the Electoral College, have we ever seen anything like this where this transition has been held up when there would appear to be a winner?
And the answer is no. And I think you, you know, rightly note that this is different than what occurred in 2000. There's a consensus, certainly on the media side and with the states that are at play. The issue from my perspective is that President Trump still has his legal avenues that he can pursue without interruption, whether or not the GSA Administrator ascertains Biden as the president-elect. So the key issue, in my view, is we don't even have to resolve whether any of that litigation that he wants to conduct is worthwhile or not. What we should understand is that by interrupting the ability of the Biden transition team to effectively prepare to take over the government, that increases the risk for all of us. It increases the risk that the Biden administration will not be able to move as fast to address big problems like the pandemic, like the economic issues we face, and like problems that we can't anticipate or not yet in front of us, but are undoubtedly going to come.
Yeah. Well, we are in a pandemic. And, you know, it just seems to be adding urgency to a smooth transition. Look, there have been times before when there have been pranks, right? And outgoing administration might, I think one year they removed the W's on all the keyboards in the White House, and George W. Bush was coming in a letter that would be needed. You know, again, has there ever been anything like the outgoing administration not participating in a transition?
So as you know, there certainly have been prior handoffs of power where the incumbent leaving is not happy about the person coming in. And there have been, you know, times in which there has not been a great deal of cooperation or interest sometimes on the incoming president to learn, I think, essential things from the outgoing. There hasn't been an example such as this one where the basic preparation work is held up on the basis of, again, a desire to litigate, you know, specific things, in despite the fact that there's been a calling of the election by, you know, by the media. So this is a unique situation and one that I think is troubling because it does once more reduce the ability of the Biden team coming in to do everything possible to be ready on day one. And it's impossible to overstate how difficult a circumstance, you know, the Biden team coming in is going to actually have to address. And again, we know some of the current issues on the table, which are overwhelming, but there will be more. And we do need a government that is working well to address these critical problems. And transition is fundamental in their ability to do that.
Can you, by the way, just tick off again some more of the things that usually happen? We know that the incoming, the president-elect, is usually given a tour of the White House. But this incoming president has already been in the White House, so maybe that's not as important. And as some were saying today, maybe may not want to go to the White House at this moment where, you know, there are so many COVID-19 cases. That seems more symbolic. What are some of the other nuts and bolts things that should be happening?
Right. And as you suggest, the, you know, symbolism sometimes matters, but the reality is the more fundamental issues are the need for the Biden team coming in to really have a concrete and in-depth understanding about what is happening in each of the agencies. So we have a very complex government, and there's a lot one can learn about from the outside, but it's ultimately not a complete substitute for hearing from the people inside government. And the second important aspect of this is the ability of the Biden team to process the leadership that they need to bring in with them into each of these agencies, what are so-called the political appointees. And those political appointees often require work with the Office of Government Ethics to ensure that they are not holding any financial conflicts of interest, that they can resolve those. They will need security clearances in many instances, and that requires FBI investigations, et cetera. And ultimately, we should all understand that we have elections. That's how we ensure that our government is accountable to the people. But we need a professional government to be able to address these key problems. And that depends ultimately on cooperation between political leaders who are handing off power and a recognition that all those political leaders need a professional career workforce that they are engaged with in a positive way to be able to get key work done. You look at Dr. Fauci as, in our view, the best example of a fantastic public servant who's a career civil servant doing amazing work. We need more Tony Faucis that are respected and that will solve big problems for us.
Max Dyer, President and CEO of the Partnership for Public Service, thank you so much.
Thank you.